Okay, we're beginning here with the new Masechet Sukkah. The word Sukkah, as Rashi points out here in the Mishnah and Tosafot later on the Amud, comes from the word Tzchacha, from the word to shade or to cover. And the word Sukkah, even though today we use it generically to mean the Sukkah as a whole, that means includes the walls and the roof of the Sukkah, the way that the Rishonim here describe it is that the word Sukkah is really a reference to the roofing or the shading material that is used. And the sukkah is really only describing the roof of what we call the sukkah, not the walls of the sukkah. And that's why the word sukkah is utilized, because it comes from the word tzchacha, to cover over, to shade. And that is the origin of why the sukkah is called a sukkah, because the primary element and the primary objective that we are focused on is the tzchacha, is the roofing of the sukkah. And that is for a number of reasons, which we will discuss throughout the Masechta. But just in short now, one of them is because that which is used for the Tzchacha of the Sukkah, you can find that in the Psukim, in the Tuvim, in Ezra and Nehemiah, as well as in some of the Mefarshim of the Rishonim on the Torah, that the harvest materials were used and placed on the roof of the Sukkah to dry out. Those harvest materials are now what is going to be used for this Tzchacha as part of the celebration of Sukkah, because we're going to really thank Hashem, who is the one that grants us the harvest. So the harvest festival, which is normal in many societies, it's not unique to Judaism, but the uniqueness here is the focus of the harvest festival on the one who gave the harvest and not on the individual who successfully harvested their crops. And that's why we place the skach, the materials of the harvest, on the roof, in order to show that we are looking up to Hashem and giving thanks to Hashem for the bounty that He has granted us through the harvest and the drying of the materials of the harvest through the period of the summer. In addition, the idea of having a roof that is temporary and not permanent is to show our dependence and reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect us. We can't put a permanent roof over our heads in order to protect ourselves, because in the end, the only protector and the only one who grants us that protection and takes care of us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in a sense, we leave the roof open. We expose ourselves to the Shamayim to indicate that Hashem is our protector. And we do read on Sukkot the Haftarot of Gog Umagog, a description of the battles Latid Davo. And it's by no coincidence that the name of those battling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu are named Gog Magog, from the word Gag, those that represent the permanent roof, those that are unable to see that Hashem is the true ruler over the world and the protector of humankind, and therefore they're known as the Gag, whereas we, the people of the Sukkah, recognize that there is no Gag above us, but rather only Tzchach that is above us. In terms of the word Sukkah, the Torah uses it generically as if we should know what a Sukkah is. That has two implications. One is that it's obvious that you need a Torah Shebaal Peh in order to define what exactly a Sukkah is, because the word Sukkah is used in the Torah without any definition and without any description of exactly what the Sukkah is. It's also true that, as Rav Breuer points out, that a Sukkah was well known to them in their time. That a Sukkah was something that the Torah takes for granted, people recognized, because it was something that was utilized in that time during the harvest. When they went out to harvest, they used to build Sukkot out in the fields in order to stay in the fields to perform the harvest. So a Sukkah, in that sense, wasn't something that was unique or something that they hadn't heard of before, because the Sukkah was the functional way that they actually performed the harvest. And so now they were taking that same Sukkah, which is the Sukkah of the harvest, and now transforming it into a Davar Shebikdusha. And therefore the word Sukkah that's used in the Torah both has an aspect of Torah Shebaal Peh to help us understand exactly what the measurements and the guidelines are for Sukkah, but it's also something that's associated with the harvest and with the agrarian society that they lived in, and something that would be well known to them in terms of their harvest of the crops. All right, with that, we'll begin the Masechta. Masechta begins with the Mishnah Sukkah, Shigvah l'malam yasrim ama. Sukkah, which is above 20 amot, psula, is no good. We have other areas, which the Gemara will mention in Shas, where something above 20 amot is problematic. One of them is what we learned in Masechta Deruvim, which is by the Mavui, the korah of a mavui cannot be above 20 amot. And the other area which we learned in Masechet Shabbat was with regards to the Hanukkah candles, that they may not be above 20 amot. And we will see what the relationship is between the sukkah and those other items. Rabbi Huda Machshir, Rabbi Huda says above 20 amot is not problematic. The Amoraim and the Gemara will tell us what the machloke between Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim is. V'she'ena gvoa asarat fachim. Other psulim with regards to sukkah are if it is not at least a minimum of 10 tefachim high. V'she'en la shalosh tefanot, if it does not have a minimum of 3 walls. V'she'chamata meruba mitzilta, and if its light, sunlight, that penetrates into the sukkah is greater than the shade that is cast by the sukkah, as Rashi points out here, because hamu'at batel berov. Number one is that if it's the minority, then it is nullified towards the majority, and if the majority is light, then whatever little material that you have on top is as if it doesn't exist. And the whole reason for sukkah is from what we said before, schach or sichacha is the covering of the hut or the sukkah as we know it today. And without that, it's not called a sukkah. So if the majority is light that is penetrating through, it's as if there's nothing on the roof. There's nothing on the roof. Then you're missing the ikar aspect of sukkah, and therefore psula. All of these items are problematic in terms of a sukkah. Gemara says, Tanan Hotam, we have a Mishnah Neiruvim. Mavui shugvoa misrim ama. If you have a mavui is an area which has one side that opens into the Reshut Rabim, and the other three sides is walled in, but it has access to different chatzerot, courtyards. Each of those courtyards has multiple dwellings that surround the courtyard. So the mavui is a central area where all the courtyards empty into, and from there they enter or exit from the Reshut Rabim to enter into their courtyards. So it's the transition space between the courtyards to the Reshut Rabim. It's otherwise known as a road. It would be the equivalent of a cul-de-sac, and off of it are these courtyards that have dwellings around them. So the fear, as Rashi points out, is that that area called the Mavui would be confused with the Reshut Rabim. Just like in the Reshut Rabim, there's multiple people that own it, and you're not allowed to carry around. But now I have a Mavui where multiple people own it and have access and egress to their courtyards. It looks very much like a Reshut Rabim. If I allowed you to carry around the Mavui, you would say, Mali Mavui, Mali Reshut Rabim. What's the difference between the Mavui and the Reshut Rabim? If I can carry in the Mavui, I certainly can carry in the Reshut Rabim. So in order to prevent that from happening, the Chachamim required that in a Mavui you do what's called a Shituf Mivot, which is that in one of the Chatzerot you gather food from all the different Chatzerot to make it as if it is a singular ownership of the Mavui by having you all become partners in the food items that are collected to make you into a collective ownership. That's one. Number two is you have to either place on that fourth side that is open to the Reshut Rabim, you have to put up a korah, which is a beam across, or lechi, which is an upright, in order to signify where the end of that mavui is. Gemara and Irvin argues about whether that siman is for heker, in order for people to know where the mavui ends, or if that siman is ke mechitza, that it acts like midrabanan, a fourth wall there, in order to make it look like it's completely enclosed. But either way, that korah that is placed at the end of the mavui, in order to demarcate the end of the mavui, that korah must be below 20 amot. Because if it's more than 20 amot, yima'et, you must reduce it. Rabbi Huda Omer, enu tzarich. Similar to our Mishnah, Rabbi Huda says you do not have to take it down. If it's above 20 amot, it is fine. Whereas the Tanakhama over there says that if it's above 20 amot, you must reduce it below the 20 amot. So the Gemara wants to know, Mishnah gabi sukkah de tani psula. Why by sukkah when you're above 20 amot? The Mishnah just says psula. Gives you a definitive psak, which is, it's no good. On the other hand, Mishnah gabi mavui de tani takanto. Whereas by mavui, it tells you how to rectify the situation. It doesn't say psula, but rather it says yimait. Take it down, so then it will be okay. So the Gemara answers, sukkah de oraito. When it comes to sukkah, which is a Torah law, therefore tani psula. It used the terminology psula, mavui de rabanan, mavui which is a din de rabanan, tani takanto. Therefore, it describes how to rectify the situation so it no longer will be psula. Rashi explains over here what's the difference between the oraita and the de rabanan. When it comes to the oraita, Rashi says the Mishnah is only reporting about a halacha that already exists. We already know from Moshe Misinai that a sukkah that is above 20 amot is psula. So when the Mishnah comes along and says that Sukkah gvoah lemala mi'asrim ama, it tells you information that's already readily known, which is psula. That's it. That's a definitive statement because we already have that information from prior. On the other hand, when it comes to a din d'rabbanan, the Mishnah is teaching you the din d'rabbanan for the first time. It's not something we knew about before. And so now you're first being introduced to this halacha. So if you came along and said psula, wait, what do you mean psula? What's the halacha? Where's the issue at hand here? And therefore it describes you what the rectification is, how to take care of it. More about what Rashi seems to be describing is that if you have information prior, the Gemara in the beginning of Brachot says that with Mei Matai Korim et Shema, Gemara says, wait a minute, Mei Matai Korim et Shema, how do you know you have to read Shema? How does the Mishnah start? Almost like in the middle of an idea, or middle of a paragraph. The answer to the Gemara is because Shema is written in the Torah. Since it's written in the Torah, the Mishnah assumes you know what's in the Torah, and then it continues forward from there. So Soto over here, with regards to Sukkah, the Gemara assumes that you know what a Sukkah is, and then it's just telling you that a Sukkah that is Malami Esrimama Psula, because it already gave you the framework of which you are starting, that's the Torah, and now you're coming saying Psula. By Din D'Rabbanan, you have no prior framework, because it's not described in the Torah anywhere, so therefore the Mishnah has to start out with the word Yima 8, to teach you the Iker Halacha, that this 20 Amot is some sort of threshold that makes a difference. So it's first describing to you that the Mavoi needs this Korah, and where is the proper placement of the Korah that's below 20 Amot. So it says it in an interesting way, which is, well, if it's above 20, it's no good, so just bring it down so that it is good below 20 Amot. That's the way Rashi describes the difference over here. Tosafot brings two other possibilities as to what this means, Deoraita Derabbanan. He says, first of all, when it comes to Deoraita, there's a risk. If I use the word Yima'et, that you must reduce it below 20 amot, you could come to the conclusion that lechatchilo, you need to reduce it below the 20 amot. But bidyavad, if you just left it above the 20 amot, it'll be okay. So now, in a din d'oraita, that mistake is really problematic, because we're dealing with the Torah law, and in Torah law, that type of mistake is serious, so we don't want you to make that mistake. Therefore, we give a definitive psak, which is psula. It's above 20 amot, no good whatsoever. On the other hand, by mavui, which again, above 20 amot, it is psula, we say yima'et, because even at worst, if you do get confused and say that's only the chatchila, b'diavad, it's still good, you're only dealing with an issue de rabbanan. Since we're only dealing with an issue de rabbanan, we're okay using the term yima'et, which is a better term to use, both because, as we went in the Gemara Psachim, it's a lashon nikiya, it's a cleaner, nicer way to express things, and therefore we would opt for that word over psula, unless there's a risk. And over here, because it's a din d'oraita by sukkah, that risk overrides and says that we utilize the word psula rather than the word ima'et. Also, the Tosafot says, possibly that the word ima'et makes it sound like it's a chumra d'rabanan. As the word psula makes it sound like it's a serious issue, it's a din d'oraita. They said the language might just reflect the severity or the level of the mitzvah that we're dealing with. When you talk about psula, that's something definitive. That means we're dealing with the serious halacha de'oraita. Whereas yima'et is the proper lashon when you're dealing with a din d'rabbanan. It's a chumra d'rabbanan. And that's exactly what's been described there in Mavoi. This is an institution d'rabbanan in order to protect us from caring in Rishut HaRabim. So whether for the reason of Rashi or the two reasons brought by Tosafot, the Mishnah distinguishes between sukkah and Mavoi and uses the term psula by sukkah and uses the term yima'et by Mavoi. Tosafot over here discusses the third item, which we know has to be below 20 amot, and that is Ner Chanukah. And over there, it does use the term psula. And Tosafot discusses why over there the word psula is appropriate, despite the fact that it's only a din d'rabbanan. Because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is hadlaka, is where you light it, not the placement of the Nerot Chanukah. You have to light them in a place that is kasher. Had you simply worded it, yima'et, that if you light it above 20 amot, you have to bring it down, it would make it sound like you could just carry the lit candles down to the lower space and you'd be fine. Which is not true, because hadlaka osa mitzvah, that when you light it, that's when the mitzvah is accomplished, and you must light them below the 20 amot level, and therefore using the word yima'et actually would be risky by Nerot Chanukah, because you would come to the wrong conclusion. The Gemara says, v'ibaitema. The Gemara says, an alternative answer is, b'doraita namitani takanto, that even in a Torah law, we would use the word yima'et, but miu sukkah, by sukkah over here in our Mishnah, the nefishin milei, that it has extensive laws that are brought in the Mishnah, pasik v'tani psula. Therefore, it gives a definitive psak, which is psula. The problem of being above 20 amot is not the only problem mentioned in our Mishnah. We have below 10 tefachim. We have missing three walls. We have not enough skach on top. All of these items, you write the word psula because yima 8 is not a solution for all of the items. Psula is a definitive psak that can apply to all the items mentioned in the Mishnah. So since the Mishnah was complex in the sense that it mentions numerous items that are problematic, therefore it uses the term psula to give you a definitive psak. Mavui, the lof nafish milei, over there by the mavui, it really only gives you the issue of above and below 20 amot. Therefore, it can say Yima'et, because it's only referencing or relating to, in that Mishnah, the issue of above and below 20 Amot. So the word Yima'et is great. Had the word Mishnah here in Sukkah only spoken about the issue of above and below 20 Amot, it would have used the word Yima'et as well. It's just because it's speaking about other items, it uses the word Psula to cover everything that is in the Mishnah. So therefore, Mavui, the Lonafish Milei, Tani Takanto. By Mavui, which only has one issue in the Mishnah being discussed, it uses the word Yima'et. So now the Gemara says, Minahane Mile. How do we know that this is true? How do we know that this issue of 20 Amot is Pusel the Sukkah? Now we're going to have four Amuraim here that give us the reason behind why the Skach being above 20 Amot is problematic. So the first one is Amar Rabo. The Amar Kura, the Pasuk says, Laman Yedu Doritechem, Ki B'Sukkot Toshavti Ad B'nei Yisrael. So that you, in the future generations, will know that I put Bnei Yisrael in Sukkot when they left Mitzrayim. Now the question of which Sukkot we'll get to further on in the Perek, as whether those are Sukkot Mamash, that Hashem took them in huts when they lived in the Midbar outside of Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim, or whether they were in the Anenei HaKavod, the clouds of glory that surrounded Bnei Yisrael, that's a Machloket Tanaim further on. Many of the Rishonim, as you can see in Rashi over here, think that the Pshat and the Pasuk is that you should remember that Ki B'Sukkot Toshavti Ad B'nei Yisrael is that I put them in the clouds of glory when I left Eretz Mitzrayim. So therefore they think that the Pashtut HaPasuk is talking about the clouds of glory. And as Rashi says here, despite the fact that that's the Pashtut HaPasuk, we could still learn from this Pasuk that Laman Yedu Doritechem, that you have to be aware. And Ades Rimama Adam Yodeu Shudar B'Sukkah. If it's up to 20 Amot high, a person is aware of the fact that they're in a Sukkah because their peripheral vision will see the Schach above, and that will indicate to them that they're in a sukkah. The malam yasri mama, once it's above 20 amot, en adam yodea shadar b'sukkah. And a person does no longer knows that they're in a sukkah because their peripheral vision will not make contact with the schach above. And as we said before, the schach is the most important element of the sukkah. Shel nashal tabayena. And because the eye or the peripheral vision doesn't naturally see that, therefore, it's no longer helpful in terms of generating this idea of Laman Yidu Doroteichem. It's a similar issue that you face with regards to Eruv and Nerot Chanukah, which is that above Esri Mama does not generate the reason that we have it there. So for instance, by the Korah, we want people to see it so they don't make the mistake of crossing from the Mavoi into the Shuta Rabim, or they don't mix up the Mavoi with the Shuta Rabim. And so therefore it has to be in an area where the peripheral vision of the person would hit the Korah, so they don't make the mistake. If it's too high up, then it doesn't perform that function. And same with Nerot Chanukah, which are all about Pursume Nisa. If they're above the 20 Amot, then people don't see them. If they don't see them naturally, then you lose the aspect of Pursume Nisa. That is the reason given by Rabbo. It happens to be interesting that he quotes the Pasuk, V'Laman Yedu Doroteichem, Ki B'Sukkot Toshavti Ad B'nei Yisrael, because that Pasuk is actually quoted the Halacha in the Tur, with regards to the Mitzvah of Sukkah, that when a person sits in Sukkah, in order to be yotze in the mitzvah of sukkah, you must know that you're sitting in a sukkah and why you're sitting in the sukkah. Part of the mitzvah of sukkah is not simply to be in the sukkah, but it's to be in the sukkah and remember that the reason you're in the sukkah is Laman Yedu Doroteichem Ki B'Sukkot Toshavti Et B'nei Yisrael B'Otzei Otam Eretz Mitzrayim. That is the reason that you're in the sukkah on that night. And it's always important to say over when you're sitting in the sukkah the first night to mention this pasuk, and to describe what the Torah says, the Gabi Halacha, because he thinks that it's an integral part of the mitzvah. It's not enough just to be in the sukkah. You must also describe what the meaning of the sukkah is when you're sitting in the sukkah in order to accomplish the mitzvah of sukkah. So that's our first position, which is that of Rabbo. Rabbi Zeber Amar, that the reason that it can't be above 20 amot is mehacha, because of the Pasuk in Yishayahu, which describes to us what a sukkah is. Sukkah, tiye, letzel yomam mechorev, that the sukkah will be for shade during the day from the burning heat, and to be a covering and a protection from the rain and from the elements. So you see that the reason for a sukkah is protection from the elements. that as long as it's within 20 amot, then the schach, that which is on the roof, is providing the protection of the person that is sitting below. But malam yasrim ama, if it's above 20 amot, in adam yoshev betzel sukkah el betzel dinfanot, then a person is no longer sitting in the shade of the roof, but in the shade of the walls, meaning that the schach no longer provides the protection in the sukkah, because the sun could be shining, and the schach will make no difference because of the height of the walls. The height of the walls will actually cast a shadow by which the shade of the schach above will have no bearing. Unless it's immediately above the sukkah, then maybe the schach will help. But otherwise, the walls would be providing the shade and not the schach above. And as we said before, the ikar aspect of sukkah is the schach. So you need the schach to be providing you with the protection and the shade. As it said in the pasuk in Yishayahu, the ikar aspect of sukkah is that it provides shade. Rabbi Seir says, if it's above 20 amot, it's no longer the schach, but the walls that are providing you the shade. On the other hand, if it's below 20 amot, it's the schach that's providing the shade, and therefore it is a sukkah. So I'm Abayi, Elumiata, Hosez sukkato b'ashtarot karnaim. Wait a minute. According to your reasoning, if someone puts up a sukkah in the valley between two large mountains in Ashtarot Karnaim, Hachinami Delavi sukkah, you're going to tell me it's not a sukkah over there too. The reason that the sukkah has shade is because of the two tall mountains on either side. It's not because of the schach. Samalei, hotam dal ashtarot karnayim ikatzel sukkah. Over there, if you take away the mountains, then if the sun was to shine over there, the shade would be provided by the sukkah itself, by the schach on the top of the sukkah. Hacha dal defanot, over here, if you take away the problem, which is the walls that are casting the shadow, lekatzel sukkah. The sukkah would still not provide you the shade. Meaning that it's so high up that if you were to take away the walls, then you would have no protection from the sun because the sun would just beat on you because the walls are open. The roof is no longer providing the shade. It's so high up that the sun will come underneath the height of the roof and cause you a problem. You would not be shaded from the sun because of the height of the roof. So that's how Rabbi Zera distinguishes between the problem of there being no sun because of some sort of natural inhibitor like a mountain, which simply blocks the sun, but does not change the dynamic of the sukkah, which is if the sun was there, that the schach would provide you with shade. On the other hand, when the schach is too high, the schach is not providing you the shade. It was the walls that were providing the shade. If you take away the walls, you will have no shade whatsoever, unless, again, of course, it is directly above the sukkah. Now we have a third opinion, which is that of Rava. Rava Amar Mihacha, he says the source is from here. It says, Bisukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim, that you must live in the sukkah for 7 days. Amra Torah, Koshivat Hayamim, Tzei Dirat Keva, V'shayv B'dirat Arai. That you should leave your house for 7 days, go out of your permanent dwelling, and move into the temporary dwelling for the 7 days. For this, later on in the Gemara, we'll discuss that Sukkah has an important aspect, which is very fundamental in understanding the Lachot of Sukkah, which is this idea of Tashtuvu Ke'en Taduru. You must live in the Sukkah the way that you would live in your house. And that gives us many of the Lachot that relevant to sukkah, as well as our understanding of what you're trying to accomplish with the sukkah. You're attempting to leave the dirat keva, you're attempting to leave your permanent house and move into the sukkah. You can only do that if the sukkah functions like you would in your house. So therefore, the sukkah must provide you whatever you would get in your house. And in addition to that, you must do in the sukkah what you would normally do in your house. And therefore, a lot of the halachot and the rules of sukkah derive from this idea of teshuvu ke'en taduru. And what Rava points out is that the sukkah that you make must be a sukkah of 7 days. Now that means that a sukkah of 7 days is that it only needs to last for 7 days. It does not have to be a permanent structure. It has to be a structure that is sufficient to last for 7 days, which means it must be a temporary structure. And that's what he says. Same dirat keva v'shev b'dirat arai. Ad esrim ama adam oseh dirato dirat arai. People make non-permanent structures up to 20 amot high. But the malam yasrim ama above 20 amot, because the support and foundations that will be needed for the walls at this point will force you to make it much more of a permanent structure. That is not what the Torah was after. The Torah is after something that is a temporary dwelling, not a permanent dwelling. And if you raise the roof so high, that will force you to make it into a permanent dwelling. So therefore, in adam osed dirato dirat arai al dirat keva. Amalei abaye, el miatav, that's the case. Asa mechitzot shel barzel. What happens if the material is a material of permanence? You're telling me here that the issue is whether it's 20 amot high or 20 amot below. I can tell you there are other reasons to worry about whether it's permanent or non-permanent. Let's talk about metallic walls versus something else that is a more temporary material. So if you take mechitzot shel barzel, you take metallic walls with tzichech agaban, and then you put tzichach on top of them, hachanami zelavi sukkah, then you can tell me it doesn't qualify as a sukkah because the walls are permanent walls. So Amalei, the Rebbe responds to him and says, oh, hachika mina lecha. This is what I'm telling you. Ad kafama dadam ose dirato diratarai. Since until 20 amot, people make temporary dwellings. Therefore, ad kafama is considered dirat arai, ki avalei dirat keva. Even if you make it with permanent materials, it still will not be qualified as a dirat keva. It will still have a shame dirat arai on it. So therefore, ki avalei dirat keva, nami, nafik, therefore he's yotze. Lamalimi kafama, when it's above 20 amot, the damo se dirato dirat keva, that's the way that a person builds a permanent structure with it above 20 amot. So kavilei dirat arai, even if he makes it into a temporary dwelling in that situation, then nami no lafik, he will not be yotze. So what Rava says is that the pasuk is not teaching you how you must make the sukkah. It's simply teaching you where is there a threshold for what's considered permanent and temporary. It's not telling you that once you have that threshold, you must also not make anything that is permanent. So therefore, 20 amot is that threshold where something moves from being temporary to permanent. Now, even if you bring it below 20 amot and you're making it to something permanent, that's not problematic because you're still within that threshold of 20 amot. Tosva then asks about that. Well, why don't you say the same thing about the schach? Why don't you say that the schach has to be made of materials that are temporary? And as long as you use materials that are temporary, even if you make them function like a permanent roof, then why doesn't that qualify for schach? Why can't you take boards or wood on top, press them together, and to a point where they create a ceiling that would be a permanent roof? Because you're using materials that would be used in a temporary way, not in a permanent fashion. So Tosafot says there's a difference between the schach and the walls, and that's what I mentioned before, that Rashi, that what he says in our Mishnah, Tosafot says over here, which is schach, which is the ikar aspect of sukkah, over there, it has to abide by the fact that it is temporary, even after you use materials that are temporary. It has to be schach, it has to be, that's the definition of sukkah, that it is a temporary dwelling, and that focuses on the schach itself, on the covering, on the roof. Whereas the remainder of the sukkah, which is just a support or a facilitator of the roof above, there, the only thing we care about is the height, the actual height of the walls versus what materials you use and whether you make it permanent or temporary. So that's the reasoning behind the 20 amot threshold according to Rava. Now the Gemara is going to describe why each of the Amoraim didn't hold like the other ones, and then we'll come to other reasons behind the 20 amot. So now kulu karaba lo amrei. The other Amoraim, which is Rava and Rabbi Zeira and Abai himself, they don't say like Rabba, who said that the reason for the 20 Amot is Naman Yidu Doratechem Kibisukoto Shavti Ad Bnei Yisrael, because how you deal the Dorot. That Pasuk is describing, as I mentioned before, the Locha that comes out of the Tur, which is that is the reason that you sit in Sukkah. It's not coming to tell you how the sukkah is made, it's coming to tell you what you must do in order to be Yotze in the mitzvah of Sukkah. So therefore, they say that it is how you deal the Doroti. Rabbi Zeira l'amilo amre. They don't use Rabbi Zeira's reasoning for the 20 amot. Rabbi Zeira brings the proof from the pasuk in Yeshayahu that a sukkah is the tzel, because how will you mota Mashiachu dichtiv? That pasuk is written in Yeshayahu. It's talking about latid lavo, what will be when the zman of Mashiach comes, and so therefore that sukkah that's being described there is the sukkah HaMashiach. Maybe it's not relevant to the mitzvah of sukkah that we have today. So those sukkahs will be for shading and for pleasure. But that doesn't mean that the sukkah that the Torah is describing is also of that same nature. Rabbi Zeira, how is he going to respond to that? He's going to say, Imkein lemakra v'chupa tiya letzel yomam. You can use the word chupa, or you can use anything else to describe what is brought here. My vis sukkah tiya letzel yomam. Why does the Navi go out of his way to use the word sukkah, a word that has definition already in the Torah? Shmaminatarte. You can learn two things. You'll learn one thing about the Yomot HaMashiach. And another thing, as an aside, it's giving you definition of the word sukkah. Karava and Amino Amre, they don't hold like Rava, who over here described to us the issue of Dirat Keva and Dirat Arai, Mishum Koshia de Abaye, because the question of Abaye that he posed to him, that if you tell me it's about Dirat Keva and Dirat Arai, then the material should matter, not just the height. So that's why each one of the other Amoraim does not subscribe to the other Amora's position. Now, Kaman Azlahadam Arabushaya Amarav. Like, which of these Amoraim does this statement of Rabbi Hoshaya Amarav, this memra that we have in the name of Rav, which is Machloket, the Machloket between the Tanakam or the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, is B'she'en defanot magiot the schach. It's only if the walls don't reach the schach. V'od defanot magiot the schach. If the walls reach the schach, afilu l'malem esrim amak sheira. Even if it's above 20 amot, It is kishera, keman. Who is that like? That is like the position of Rabbah. Because what did Rabbah say the issue of 20 Amot is? The Amar, mishum delo shalta be'eino. Because people's eyes do not catch the schach when it's above 20 Amot. But, kevin did the fanot megiot the schach, and then if the walls reach up to the schach, then one's eye will follow the wall, and then it looks to where the wall terminates. And based on that, it will see the schach. And therefore, mishalat shalta be'eino, that will force one's peripheral vision, or one's sense, or awareness of where they are, to reach the schach because of the height of the walls. So therefore, that reasoning that qualifies our Mishnah and tells us that the 20 amot is the threshold, but even the Chachamim agree that if the walls reach the schach, that it's not psula, that works according to the reasoning that Rabbah gave. And therefore, that statement of Rabbi Shaya Marav is most likely using the reasoning that Rabbah gave. Now, Kaman Azlahad Amar Rav Huna Amarav. But according to whom does this statement, Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, Machloket Shein Baila Arba Amot Al Arba Amot. That's only true when it's 4x4 amot. It's more than a 4x4 amot sukkah. Then even the Chachamim agree if the schach is above 20 amot, that it is kshera. So over here again, the Gemara is going to quote three different memrot from Rav. So it's a machloket amoraim, a libid Rav, as to what Rav said was the qualification of 20 amot. I mean that Rav says that the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Yehuda, but they agree to him in certain circumstances. What is that circumstance? We had Rabbi Yoshiaya say, well, they agreed to him in the circumstance where the walls reach the schach. Now we have Rav Huna saying, no, Rav says that the Chachamim agree in a case where the sukkah is greater than 4x4 amot. In each of these cases, we're going to try to understand according to which of the previous Amoraim, Rabbo, Rova, and Rabbi Zeira, who gave reasons for the 20 amot, does this statement make the most sense? And that's what the Gemara says here. Come on, who's that statement like? Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said before that the issue is that the shade must come from the roof and not from the walls. Because, if you think about it, what Rabbi Zeira says is that above 20 amot is problematic because the walls cast a shade and not the roof itself. Well, that depends on the size of the sukkah. If a sukkah is small, then you're right. Then the walls are providing the shade and not the schach. But if a sukkah is very wide or very long, then that would not be true because the walls just wouldn't be big enough to cast a shadow and the schach would be providing the shade. And that's what the Gemara says here. According to Rabbi Zeira's reasoning, that which Rav says now makes sense, that only when it's 4x4 amot. Greater than 4x4 amot, then even above 20 amot, the schach will be providing the shade and not the walls. Tosafot discusses what that means. Tosafot says maybe it means that you have to always the olam tzarich sharocha v'tlifi gova v'cheshbon dalet amot l'estrim. Tosafot says maybe the Gemara is giving you a ratio, which it says for every 20 amot of height, you must have at least 4 amot of width and length in order for the sukkah to be ksheira. And if you want to go higher, then you're going to have to expand further. So that's one way Tosfot says it. Or he says, Vikimle, that the Chachamim had a Misora, that even if it's 1,000 amot high, that it's impossible that the roof will not give shade once you're beyond 4x4 amot. He says, whether that is Alach L'Moshe Misinai of some sort of empirical threshold, that 4x4 amot, once you expand beyond it, then the Shach must give you some shade, or whether there is a ratio of a relationship between the size of the Sukkah and the height, which is for every 20 amot of height, you need at least 4x4 amot. Either way, the reasoning here is about whether the schach is casting shade, and therefore, even the Chachamim will agree that if the schach is providing the shade because it's a bigger sukkah, then it would be kshera. Now, keman azlahad amar Rav Chanan bar Rabba amar Rav. So again, now we have a third amora quoting something from Rav about this machloket b'sheina machzeka delekadei rosho rubo v'shulchano. That machloket in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is only when the sukkah is the size that it holds kadei rosho, his head, v'rubo, and the robe of his body, v'shulchano, and the shulchan that he eats on. We'll get to this later on in the Gemara about who's the source and where we know this from. But as Rashi points out over here, in their day when they ate, they didn't simply eat sitting up on a chair, but they ate lying on a mitah, lying down. And so because of that, in order to be classified that you're in the sukkah, you'll need the shulchan, the table upon which you eat. You need your rosh, your head, which you eat with, to be in the sukkah, but also robe of your body, because you're going to lie there in the sukkah. So to have yourself housed in the sukkah, and rosho v'rubo of the body in the size of the sukkah that it contains you. But if aval machzeka yoter mikdei rosho rubo v'shulchano, if the sukkah is greater than that size, afilo malam esrim ama, even if it's above 20 amot, it'll be fine. So then it's ksheira, keman. Who's that like? Delo kechad. That's like any of these other amoraim. None of the other amoraim would fit into this position that's being described by Rav. The reasons that we've seen until now don't explain to us what the problem is over here. Now Rashi over here, later on in the Gemara, says that we don't know the reasoning behind this position of Rav Chanan bar Rabba in the name of Rav. And the Gemara never gives us the reason. and we just leave it as unexplained. Although Tosafot over here says we have to give a reason for Rav Chanan bar Rabba's position. He says Vish Mefarshim Shem Davle Lul Shel Tarnagolim, that it's like a chicken coop. When it's so small and so high, it has the sense of being a chicken coop and not a place of dwelling. And that's why it's problematic according to Rav Chanan bar Rabba. Now the Gemara says, Bishlamo de Rabbo Shayo, that which is the first qualification brought in the name of Rav about the walls reaching the Schach, Pliga ad Rav Huna Rav Chanan bar Rabba. That it's clear there that he's arguing on them, the Inukai of Shira b'mashko, because they're giving a measurement about the size of the Sukkah, V'yulukai of Shira b'mashko. And he clearly is not telling you about size, he's telling you about the nature of the walls. So it's clear that his position is different than the other two quotes that we have in the name of Rav. So his quote is clearly relying on something different, or a different reason for the 20 amot. Rav Huna Rav Chanan bar Rabba, Neima b'hechsha Sukkah kamiflege. Who says that their malachloket is relating to this issue of 20 amot high or not 20 amot high? Maybe they're simply arguing about what is the minimum size of a sukkah to be ksheira. The marasa v'hechsha sukkah ba'arba amot. One of them says that the minimum shiur for sukkah is 4 amot. Once you reach that minimum shiur, then no problem. The other one says that the threshold for a kosher sukkah is that it contains your head, your roof of your body, and your table. And they're basically saying that at the minimum shiur, the chachamim say that 20 amot high is problematic. Once you go beyond the minimum shiur of sukkah, then the chachamim don't argue with Rabbi Yehuda. So let's say that they are actually both relying on the same reasoning behind the 20 amot threshold. They're just simply arguing about what is that minimum threshold to be a kosher sukkah. Once you go beyond that minimum threshold, then you're kasher. And so their machloket is simply about that minimum size of a sukkah. Lo, Gemara says, "Dukuli am ekshe sukkah rosh over above shulchano." Everybody agrees that the minimum shear of a sukkah is the one that fits your head, the roof of your body, and your shulchan. Their machloket is about this. The marsav machzeket rosh over above shulchano plige. That's where the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda argue. Avayoter mi rosh over above shulchano direk hol kshera. After that point, everybody agrees that it's kshera. That it's not just at the minimum shear that they argue, but they argue at the minimum shear all the way until Dalet Amot. That's where the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda with regards to a sukkah that's more than 20 amot high. Aval yoter mi Dalet Amot, divrei hakol ksheira. Everybody agrees that it is ksheira. So they're not arguing about the minimum size of a sukkah. Everybody agrees the minimum size of a sukkah is rosho rubo v'shulchano. What they're arguing about is until what point do the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rav Chanan bar Rabba, they only argue at the minimum level, that is, Rosho Rubo v'Shulchano. Beyond that point, they don't argue anymore. On the other hand, according to Rav Huna, they argue all the way until Dalet Amot. Even though they're above the minimum Shir of Sukkah, until you hit the Dalet Amot point, they still argue with Rabbi Yehuda. I said before, four positions within the Amuraim as to what the reason for Lamala Mi'ah Dalet Amot is. They have the position of Rabba, which has to do with Lo Shalta Be'ena. The position of Rabbi Zeira, which is about tzel of the sukkah, not the tzel of the fanot. We have the reasoning of Rova, which it has to do with the permanence versus the temporariness of the dwelling. And then we have the reasoning of Rav Chanan bar Rabba, which the Gemara doesn't tell us why he thinks it's psula when it's that high. Again, Tosafot tried to describe it, that it's a problem of, looks like a chicken coop. The Gaonim and the Rishonim discuss who the Locha is like in this case. So many of them favor Rabba because Rabba is Rabba's Rebbe. And in addition to that, he would be the one who knew what Rav said the best because he was the oldest of the crew. Other Rishonim, and this is the way that we pass on the Locha, say the Locha is like Rabba because he's a Batra. And we discussed this in Masechet Yoma, that when it comes to a Batra, from Rovan onward, Batra, being a later Amora, carries more weight than being an earlier Amora. And therefore, the Halacha is like Rava. And part of the reason why the Halacha might be like Rava is because he actually fits the best into our Mishnah. Our Mishnah gives a definitive Halacha that above 20 Amot is Pasul, and never gives us any exception to that rule. And according to Rava's reasoning, there is no exception to the rule. 20 Amot is the cutoff, and there are no exceptions to the rule. Whereas according to the other reasonings, that of Rabbi Zeira and that of Rabba, we see here that Rav qualifies that statement and says that there are exceptions and the Chachamim don't always disagree. But our Mishnah never mentions something like that. So actually Rava might be the simplest way to explain our Mishnah, and therefore the Locha is like Rava. Meitave. Sukkah shigvoa l'malam yasrim amah psula. Sukkah above 20 amot is psula. Rabbi Yehuda makshir ad 40, 50 amah until 40, 50 amot. Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Masei bihilni amalko. There was an incident with Hilni Hamalka, one of the queens in the dynasty of the Chashmonaim, that she was in Lod. Shaita sukata gvoa mesvim ama. She had a sukkah that was more than 20 amot high. Vayuz ganim nichnasim yotzim lesham. And the elders of Bnei Yisrael were entering and exiting there, meaning the Talmid HaChachamim. And they never criticized her for having a sukkah that was above 20 amot. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look from that. I have a proof that a sukkah above 20 amot is fine. So Amrulo, the Chachamim said back to him, Isham raya. From there you have a proof. Ishaita. Hilni Amalka is a woman. Uptura min sukkah. And since sukkah is a mitzvah d'aseh shazman grama, it's a time-bound positive commandment, a woman is ptura from sukkah. So they didn't criticize her because she was a woman, and sukkah psula didn't really, in a sense, matter because she didn't have to do the mitzvah of sukkah. It says, Amalahen, v'lo shiva banim ayivula. Wait a minute. So Rabbi Yehuda says back to Chachamim, okay, that's for her. But she has seven children there. She has seven children. At least one of them has reached the age of chinuch. If you have seven children, probably one of them should have been at the age of bar mitzvah as well. But just assume at least that one of them has reached the age of chinuch. So how could they just let this go? Ve'od, ko maaseh lo asta ela pi Chachamim. And in addition to that, she only did things the way the Chachamim said. She wouldn't have made a sukkah psula, and she would not have made a sukkah above 20 amot, unless the Chachamim told her that it was okay. Gemara says, V'lamele the mitnei v'od. Why do you have to bring that second reason? Isn't it enough that she has sons there that has to be a kosher sukkah? Why did you bring that additional item that she always follows the rulings of the Chachamim? Why did you write this v'od po maseh lo asta ela pi Chachamim? Hachik amar lahu. This is what Rabbi Yehuda says the Chachamim. Ki tomru banim ktanim ayu. What are you going to tell me? Oh, her children were minors. Uktanim turim min sukkah, and minors are turim min sukkah, so I'm in the same box. I have a woman turim min sukkah, I have children are turim min sukkah, so the Chachamim don't say anything to her because she doesn't need a kosher sukkah. But the Gemara says, but kevan deshiv ahavu, since there are seven, I avshar delo havi behu chad she'inu tzarich leimo. There can't be one in there that does no longer needs his mother. If he no longer needs his mother, he's reached the age of chinuch for sukkah, and therefore they must have been in the realm of chinuch. So yes, you're right. He had reached the age of chinuch, but that's only a din derabonon. And who says that she follows dinei derabonon? She might not pay attention to the rabbanon. That's the what Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no. Tashma, that she in the end follows the position of the chachamim with everything that they have to say. The Gemara says, "Bish l'mal d'man d'amar bish ein d'fanot magiot l'schach machloket." That the machloket between the Chachamim and Yehuda is when the walls don't reach the schach. Darker shel makale shebe sukkah she ein d'fanot magiot l'schach. It would make sense that the type of sukkah that Hilni Amalka had was a sukkah whose walls did not reach the roof or the schach, because mishum avira, because that would provide better airflow into the sukkah. So it would be possible and plausible that she would make a sukkah that didn't have the walls reaching the tzchach. And that's why the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about whether her sukkah was kshera or not. But we can understand why they have a sukkah that would be subject to that machloket. Elamanda amar b'sukkah ktana machloket. But according to those that say that the machloket here is only when it's a small sukkah, but once it's a bigger sukkah, the Chachamim would agree. But we see here that Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim are arguing about a sukkah. Chi darkash makad eshib sukkah ktana. Since when would a queen be in a minimum sukkah, like a 4x4 amot sukkah, or rosho brubo v'shulchano? She's not going to make a sukkah of that size. That's not appropriate. It's not befitting a malka. And so why are the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda arguing about the sukkah of Hilni Amalka if she's not sitting in a sukkah that is subject to that machloket? Amar Rabba Barav Ada lo nitzrucha el sukkah suya kitoniyot, kitoniyot. It's a sukkah that's made into compartments. It's a compartmentalized sukkah, so they're all different rooms. Yes, it's a very large sukkah in totality, but there are compartments in the sukkah for private rooms. And those private rooms do not meet the minimum threshold of the 4x4 amot. And that's why we have to worry about the height of the sukkah. It says again, V'chi darkah shu makad eshib sukkah suya kitoniyot, kitoniyot. With a queen, would she be in such a small room? As Rashi points out, that the queen has a large entourage that goes with her. So how is she going to fit into a small, compartmentalized sukkah? So why would she have such a small room? Amar Avashi, lo nitzrucha ele kaitoniyot sheba. Within this sukkah, there were smaller rooms or smaller chambers. And the Rabbanan sabri b'nei b'sukkah ma'al yahavu yatve. So the Rabbanan believed that the children were in a part of the sukkah that was fine. V'ihi yatva b'kaitoniyot mishum tzniyuta. And she stayed in a smaller compartment because of tzniyut. And because of that, they didn't say anything to her because it was just her, not her children. Therefore, if she went in there for her privacy, The Chachamim didn't worry about the problem of her children going in there with her because there's just not enough space for her children. That her children stayed with her. And since her children were with her, and nevertheless, they didn't say anything about the problem of the height of the sukkah of the 20 amot high. So in the end, the machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is the nature of these smaller rooms that were there. According to the Chachamim, the smaller rooms only contained her, and that's why they didn't worry about the fact that it was psula. Now then, Rabbi Yehuda believes, no, this room where she had Britzniut included her and her children, and therefore they would have to be a qualified sukkah. If it's above 20 amot, the Chachamim didn't say anything, it must be the halacha that above 20 amot is kshira. Now Rashi says here that the Gemara only addresses two of the opinions brought in the name of Rav. One was the opinion of Rabbi Hoshaya in the name of Rav, that the issue where the Chachamim argue is when the walls don't reach the schach. And the second one is the B'shem Rav Huna, that the threshold is Dalet Amot, beyond Dalet Amot or less than Dalet Amot. What they don't address is that of Rav Chanan Bar Abba, who says that the only space in there that where the Chachamim argue is where it's Rosho Rubo V'Shulchano, but above that, they don't argue. How come the Gemara never addresses his position? And that's what Rashi says, V'im Tomar, Rav Chanan, Tomuki Plukta, V'Shenim Akzekarek De Rosho Rubo V'Shulchano, by definition, if your children are with you, it can't just be Rosho Rubo V'Shulchano, because there's just not enough space for her children. So it's clearly bigger than that threshold. So Modi Ba Rabbanon, and therefore the Rabbanon would agree. Omar Raya Shel Rabbi Yehuda, and then Rabbi Yehuda's proof is nothing. They said that no, her shulchan, her table, was in the bigger sukkah. Ubanea al shulchan ayu yoshvim roshan v'ruban. V'lokim esubim hen v'lokim skufim. That they were in that bigger area of the sukkah. Bedli nira divided Rav Chanan kasho. That for Rav Chanan, this whole thing is a problem. V'haytei rutzul Rav Huna hu v'chaynikar. And Rashi says in the end that the Gemara basically eliminates Rav Chanan Bar Abba because we can't explain him in this conversation between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. And therefore, we dismiss the fact that he is the real reason for why it's more than 20 amot high. Because, as Rashi says, the Shir Rosho Rubo Amrin on the Kaman, the Inu El Zayin Tfachim, the Yavshad Shiva Banim, B'Shiva Tfachim. Because that size of Rosho Rubo Shkono is 7 by 7 Tefach, and there's no way that she and her seven sons could fit into such a space. Therefore, Rashi says that the Gemara only addressed the two opinions before because they are reasonable opinions in which we can explain the machlok between Rav Yehuda and Chachamim. But for Rav Chanan Bar Abba, there's no reasonable way to explain it. Tosafot takes issue with Rashi and says, well, Rashi, you're only understanding when it's a square of 7 by 7 tefachim, so their children can't fit in. But if you made it nice, long and narrow, that it was the equivalent of 7 by 7 tefachim when it's long and narrow, there you could fit in her seven children. Now, Tosafot comes up with a way to make it fit, even though practically it doesn't make so much sense that she would have a long, narrow place and all her children would be in her, with her in that narrow place. But Tosafot just wants to point out that you could possibly explain Rav Chanan Bar Abba in this machloket, and therefore he does not dismiss the fact that he could fit into this machloket between Rav Yehuda and Chachamim is explained here, and the answer that the Gemara gives for Rav Huna Bar Rav will also be the same answer that we give for Rav Chanan Bar Abba. Okay, we'll stop over here.